Good songs, Jeff. Why did the Savior heaven leave and come to earth below? I'm going to try to answer that question tonight. There's a fundamental principle. It's actually a commandment, a fundamental truth put forth in the Bible. And God has intended this commandment to be the foundation of our lives. When Jesus was asked, which is the first commandment of all? He said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The people had heard that before. In fact, Jesus was quoting Moses. This was not something new to them. But something changed after Jesus said that. He died. He suffered and he died, giving us a clear picture of what he meant. My objective tonight is for each of us to renew our appreciation for the blessings that we enjoy in Christ, and also to think seriously about our responsibility to follow the example that Jesus has left us. Please know that I'm speaking to myself. I need to hear this. My hope, my expectation, is that the next several minutes will be beneficial to us all. Jesus died. Speaking of his impending death, Jesus said in John 12 and verse 27, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Why did Jesus die? It was his purpose. Jesus said, it's my purpose is why I have come to this point in my life. Why I have come to the earth. Would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2? First Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 22, says, and Peter speaking of Jesus says, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body, on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Jesus bore our sins in his body, on the tree, it says, that we might die to sin, that we might live for righteousness, and that we might be healed. And notice that he did that. Excuse me. Dry mouth. He was committed to the one who judges righteously. It was his purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." Notice the connection between the Father and the Son in this verse. It says that that we are saved according to God's own purpose and grace, and He has given that to us through His Son. Jesus said several times in the Gospel of John, "I and the Father are one." One of those instances is John chapter 10 and verse 30. He also ties purpose and grace together in this verse. So I'd like to turn to Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." Notice what happened when... Oh, thanks, Steve. You act like you know what you're doing there. You've been there before. He says here, when talking about grace, he says it brings us salvation. And it teaches us. It redeems us. It purifies us. It makes us His own special people. That happened when Jesus gave Himself for us. Grace is not a feel-good concept that just sort of falls on us because we're God's creation. Grace is that wonderful, undeserved blessing that God made possible through His Son, of which we have the opportunity to become an active part. Grace is the purpose that Jesus spoke of in John 12:27. It is His purpose. It becomes our purpose. Notice what else this passage says in Titus 2. It teaches us. This is His grace. Teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, to live soberly, righteously, godly, constantly looking toward that blessed hope and the coming of our Lord. Teaches us to be zealous for good works. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 4 and 5. "Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." It becomes our purpose. Not that we can do what Christ did, but we can follow His example. All of that leads us to the change that I talked about. After Jesus answered the question, what is the first commandment? In Matthew it's recorded as the greatest commandment. The change I'm talking about is that Jesus has given us the example, the perfect example, so that we can know exactly what is meant by what He said. Notice these verses. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." John 13:13 through 15, Jesus had just washed the apostles' feet. And that scene just in itself is hard to imagine. But here's what He said. "You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Also in John, the 13th chapter, in verse 34, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And John 15:9 says, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. And Mark 10:45 gives us a clear picture of Jesus' own purpose. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. At this point, I think you all have a copy of the song that was on the chair. If you don't, maybe Jeff could hand it out. Raise your hand if you don't have a copy of it. This is a song that I wrote, and Cliff did a lot of work on it, helping me with the music. We're not going to spend a lot of time working on it tonight, but I'd like to sing through it once and just introduce it to you. I will say one thing about when we get to the chorus, notice where it says, he died as the Father had planned. Just the ladies are singing, or just the sopranos and altos are singing there. Emphasize the rests. Make a significant break there. We'll sing it rather slowly.
My Savior is here beside me. He walks with me, leads, so I see. Because Jesus lives after dying for me, I have hope in eternity. He died as the Father had planned. He died holding on to my hand. Jesus died faithfully, nailed upon that tree. He died to serve God and man. He humbly is washing my feet. His love keeps and makes me complete. When I'm following him and serve others I meet, we will walk on that golden street. He died as the Father had planned. He died holding on to my hand. Jesus died faithfully, nailed upon that tree. He died to serve God and man. My sins he completely forgave. By grace my atonement was paid. God raised up his own Son from the depth of the grave, and my Jesus has power to save. He died as the Father had planned. died, holding on to my hand. Jesus died faithfully, nailed up on that tree. He died to serve God and man.
Thank you. We'll try to sing that again in the near future. Love as I have loved you. How do we do that? We serve. We serve as He served. I refer you back to the greatest commandment. We love God with everything that we have, is basically what He said. All your abilities, You put everything into it. You put Him first. Also, we love others as Jesus has loved others. Well, that means we have their best interest at heart. That means that we help them to know the truth. We help them to know and take part in the grace of God, with the goal of helping them to eternal life. Just as Jesus did. That was His purpose. To help us all to eternal life. I failed to mention when I was talking about the first part of that, the greatest commandment, that to love Him is to keep His commandments. And that's probably the most important part about serving. We can stay busy just doing whatever. But to love God is to keep His commandments. To love Christ and to love others as Christ has loved is to keep His commandments. Turn with me to 1 John, the third chapter. Verses 16 and 17. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? You know what I get from those two verses? Be there. Just be there. According to God's purpose. But be there. Serve as Jesus served. He did His part so that we might learn to do our part. Author Sally Koch said, great opportunities to help others seldom come, but small ones surround us daily. Jesus had something to say about that. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, let's turn to that and read it. Starting in verse 31. Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We have small things that we can do around us every day. Jesus has taught us through His Word and by His actions the type of life that we should live. The type of life for which He has set the example. The type of life in which we love as He loved, serve as He served, and have the same commitment and purpose which He displayed. Another passage that's really familiar to you, I'm sure, is Romans 12. Turn to that one. Let's look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Your Bible might say spiritual worship instead of reasonable service. Your Bible might say spiritual service or spiritual service of worship. It's our purpose. It's why Christ died. In doing that, we give our body, it says in verse 2. And we give our mind. And we give our will. We submit to the will of God. I know that some of you were in here the day that D. Bowman was standing up here. And he was talking about these two verses. And he was talking about reasonable service. And he said, it's the only service that makes sense. And that stuck with me. I've never forgotten that. It's the only service that makes sense. It's our purpose. Well, I've come to the end of this a lot sooner than I thought I was going to. But I hope that I hope I've put together some passages from God's Word that have made some sense, that have encouraged you. That was my goal. So let's live a life of service every day. And someday, we can look back with a great amount of satisfaction and confidence, knowing that we have completed our purpose. You remember what Jesus said when He completed His purpose?
He said, "It is finished." Someday we can say the same. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Of course, to be able to serve, you have to first become a servant. We must be numbered among those who are called according to God's purpose. Did you know that to become one of the called, you must follow the example of Jesus and die? Look at Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So as baptism puts us into that relationship where we are one of the called according to God's purpose. We could read other passages of Scripture that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. But the point is, we must die to sin. Christ died that could happen for us, that we could make that choice, and that we could follow His example, and that we could have a hope of eternal life. Looking forward to that every day as we serve. We can begin that new life, a life of service. There's no other organization on earth that you can be a part of and know that the future is solid. Know that God has promised a home in heaven, a home of eternal life to those that are called according to His purpose. So embrace your new life. Come and be baptized. Be excited about it. Love God with everything you have and your neighbor as yourself. Serve Him every day. We invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.
Thirsty soul, hear the
'tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that slept, and no soul is left that may not.